Well, let's go now to Steve in Johnson County. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Great program. Very timely, actually. I'm going through a divorce right now, and I'd like to try the mediation process as much as possible. The collaborative approach sounds fantastic. My attorney and I have pushed for that. This was kind of levied against me. And I was just curious, there's a great book out there as a resource called Splitting. Have any of you, guests heard of this book before? It has to deal with divorcing from a borderline or a narcissist, because it makes it very, very roller coaster ride difficult to get through the process. I was just curious if you had any comments on that.
I'm not familiar with the book.
I've heard of the book. I have not read it, Steve. And just in when you asking for comments, I think that it is important when I hear you looking for resources and trying to be educated about different ways to deal with certain situations and different dynamics in the divorce. I would commend you on that.
Okay. Thanks. Great show. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
If you want to contribute to this conversation, if you've been through a divorce or observed one, either as a parent, a child, or an onlooker, and you have some thoughts on the obstacles to overcome and
right.
how to do it, please do so at 816-235-2888. And we'll go now to Nancy in Harrisonville.
Yes, it is a timely subject. My daughter-in-law moved out of the house and took the two teenage boys, and my son told her, you can have the house, I will rent the apartment. And she decided she didn't want to do that. And it was a year passed or more, and so now I, as the paternal grandmother, am living in this house with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to be wanting a divorce, and but it puts me in kind of a situation where I really feel like maybe I shouldn't be here, you know. The grandchildren will come and visit, but they're kind of hostile, you know, both to their father. And so a lot of it involved religion. My son goes to a very fundamentalistic Pentecostal church.
Mm-hmm.
And he came home one day and was very angry because his boys had not written out the Bible verses that he wanted them to write out. And that was the point at which his wife left and took the two boys.
Is religion often a problem?
Oh, sure. I mean, you see couples, I just did a show on extended family and in-laws, so you see couples fighting about the topics that we all hear about, religion, finances and money, and sex and extended family, including in-laws. So it is a common piece. And I would encourage her to think about if the couple might want to entertain the idea of getting some therapeutic help and seek out therapy.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea.
And is Nancy's problem common that the person who is brought in to help out when a parent is suddenly single or living as though they're single gets in the middle of it?
Sure. Sometimes that person feels like they're just in that no-win situation because they're trying to help, yet each of the parties tries to pull them into some of the pain that they're feeling. So that's not uncommon. And so I encourage her to get some support also, because that's a difficult dilemma to deal with.
Well, Nancy, does that help you out? Okay, well, I think that probably helped. A call from Al on the Plaza. Good morning, Al.
Hi, good morning. Hey, Walt, everybody. You guys are great. Well, I've got one for you. This, without mediation, this can be an incredibly helpful tool, because in my own situation, my parents were divorced when I was 4, and when I was 18, asset issues came up. Property, very valuable property, came up, and we went back to the original judge, and at that time I was an adult, essentially, mm-hmm. and the judge brought me into the picture, and I had to make a choice regarding which parent was the most significant in my upbringing, and that affected the awarding of these assets, which were considerable. And as a result, one of my parents, I don't want to demonize either one of them, disinherited me.
Really?
So yeah, and it was a big deal. So the thing is, you know, the fact that the children are very much a factor, in the early stages of divorce and mediation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds like for you, the effect on having to make some of those choices and talk about what parent impacted you more was very difficult, and if we could have just dealt with that in a different way.
At the time, it was insane. I mean, I didn't even know what was going on. I was just a kid getting out of high school, you know, prep school. So
sure.
The thing is, I think it's a huge factor to bring the kids into the mediation process, and you know, in a positive way, because all these things can get resolved very early. And you know, here it was, how many years later? What, I don't know, 14,
sure.
15 years later.
Right.
And Al brings up a really good point that demonstrates that these things are interrelated. His role emotionally as a child, the result wasn't just emotional; it was financial for him.
Right.
To Steve in Edgerton.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, first of all, I love your show, Walt. Actually, I listen to Steve Kraske and all that all the time. You guys, this is a good program.
Oh, thank you.
My question is this. I come from a family where my folks are still married, and you know, their folks are married, and their folks are married, and this and that. My wife comes from a family where there's been a couple divorces, and it's almost, you know, they say once you've lived through one divorce, you have an 85% chance of doing the same thing. It's a very learned behavior. Why are we trying to figure out easier ways for divorce to happen instead of judges, instead of just granting divorces? Why aren't they ordering, you know, counseling? Why aren't they, you know, I mean, things like irreconcilable differences. I mean, really all that boils down to is you can't solve an argument, and one person isn't grown up enough to just quit the behavior that they're conducting.
Well, I'm going to first let our guests respond to the idea that divorce repeats itself in families. Do children of divorced parents tend to have a higher rate of divorce?
Go ahead, Terry.
Statistically, I've not seen a statistic that high indicating that mm-hmm. a child of divorce will then repeat it. So that's new information for me.
And the other question that he brings up, which is, why isn't there more effort to convince people to stay together, to work with them to stay together? Is that, you know, we had that recent movie, I think it was What Happens in Vegas, that the judge orders them to 6 months of hard marriage. Is that legally a feasible thing?
6 months of hard marriage.
Well, I don't think that, I think that the decision about whether or not a couple is going to stay together is that of the
yeah.
couple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, I've told people before that, you know, if people quit getting divorced and I go out of business, I'll just go find something else to do, I think.
And I second that.
Yeah. I'm not here to encourage people to get divorced. I think as much as possible people should stay together. But if they've made that decision, if one of them's made that
yeah.
decision, then there is a process. There are different ways to get to the end,
mm-hmm.
and this is a more skillful and healthy process than the litigation, than the traditional way to get divorced in most cases. Now, I'm not saying it's appropriate in all cases, mm-hmm. because there are those that it's not. But if somebody's made that decision, then, and I know Terry deals with couples all the time trying to help people.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to add, is that I second what he's saying. If I would not have another client going through a divorce, I would be fine with that. But if they make that choice,
yeah.
then I want to try to be proactive so we have more of a peaceful situation than setting dynamics of war in place.
Mm-hmm.
But I do a lot of relationship counseling and try to find a lot of resources for couples in trying to work through the difficulties they have. But again, I'm not the decision maker for individuals and couples.
Right. Okay, well, we've got Julie in North Kansas City.
Yeah, Julie.
Yes, I'm in Kansas City North, and I'm seriously considering divorcing my husband. I've left him twice, and of course he, was remorseful and stuff, but
mm-hmm.
it's an abuse situation, I
yeah.
think. You know, not so much physically, but it's verbally.
I see.
And, Should I just leave for a while again, or should I just start filing papers?
Well, in an abuse situation, is collaborative law something that can be dealt with, or does abuse make that difficult?
There's a challenge involved. I'm sorry. There's a challenge involved in that. There has to be, but it doesn't preclude collaborative or mediation. There has to be an ability by both parties to negotiate, to discuss the issues. Mm-hmm. If there is that ability on both parts, then collaborative law or mediation is a good option.
Yeah, and I was going to add the piece of because there has been abuse, it doesn't eliminate it, because what collaborative law does do and mediation is it recognizes the emotional difficulties and tries to deal with that, not ignore it. Mm-hmm. So it would address this. And again, as Hugh said, each situation is different, so it might not be appropriate. But I'd encourage her also, it's such a difficult decision to make about leaving a marriage, to try to get some type of support and help in working through that.
Yeah, and it did sound like she was trying to decide whether to go. And is that something that you help people with?
It is. I have people in the office all the time with that. And the decision, as indicated with the last caller, the decision to divorce is such a struggle. You can hear for her. And so it is an important piece that should be addressed and should be given time and support in going through.
Mm-hmm. Go to Russell in Olathe.
Hello, Lenexa, actually, now. Wonderful phones.
Oh,
mobile
good.
Phones.
Good.
Hey there. Well, more of an observation and a suggestion than a question. I think a primary cause of difficulty in divorce is that the couple has been together so long under negative circumstances before they reach that point that they have begun to truly hate each other. And I think that's largely because of a misconception that if you leave someone, the time you spent together is wasted. You have thrown away that part of your life. You don't have anything to show for it. Well, you have the time you spent together to show for it. You have other things to show for it. If two people grow in different directions, that's the way it is. But it doesn't mean that they shouldn't have been where they were when they were where they were.
Right.
And my suggestion, instead of turning back the clock and making divorce more difficult, why not raise the bar to marriage to something other than in-lay and make it so that you have to actually prove a certain degree of belonging together before you're permitted to sign something that is a legal contract. It's not just an emotional relationship, and it's not just a legal relationship.
So
it's
Russell,
both. It's
are you suggesting...
And then if marriage still doesn't work out, we'll give them the divorce easily.
Are you suggesting a waiting period for marriage?
Like legal... it makes a certain degree of sense, either a waiting period or else, something like the MMPI. I have no idea how it would be implemented, just the idea that it should be to actually help eliminate hundreds and millions of, hey, let's get married. Oh, why not? Oh, this sucks.
Yeah. And Russell, I'd add that, this is a big, big topic of discussion, even comes up in the political arena. And the one piece that I do see and I see as a positive is that I do have a lot of couples that are coming in for what I will term is sort of that premarital counseling, is that they want to come in. Mm-hmm. They don't want to seek out just trying to go through a class that they have to get through to meet their requirements of their church. They really want to look at the issues and see how they're working together and make sure that they're choosing options and strategies that'll be helpful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go to Dan in Leawood. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. I wanted to point something out that's often not considered and little known, so to speak, is what's referred to as a postnuptial, and it can be handled through mediation. Can take a lot of things off the table that can be a problem, and you're not necessarily rushing into something you might regret, and it's easily handled through a mediator and can be a last resort before doing something that you may not necessarily choose to do, and postnuptials are available just as though prenuptials are, and they're not often considered.
Hmm. What is a postnuptial?
It would be a contract entered into between the parties after they've already been married, after they've gotten married.
Under what circumstances would someone get married and then choose to do that? Is that kind of like, it's a pretty unromantic thing to bring up in a marriage.
Yeah.
Well, it can be. I've had couples.
Because it sounds a little like a threat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure I've ever encountered it, actually, in a scenario other than in a prenuptial situation.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some... the gentleman brings out a good point. I mean, you can remove certain issues of possible friction between the parties by entering into prenuptial agreement. He's talking about a postnuptial, but I'm talking about a prenuptial agreement can be... I think you're right. Most people's first reaction would be it's not very romantic.
Yeah.
But it might be also very practical.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan, what can you tell us about the postnuptial? Is that something that has worked for someone you know?
Yeah, it's just something that, again, is little known, and it can take some of the things that may be a point of contention off the table and alleviate some of the stresses of marriage that you're able to move forward from.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dan.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And now we'll go to Cannon in South Kansas City.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was just going to comment earlier about the marriage counseling. Sometimes I've had two situations, one in my own divorce, unfortunately, and one in another close friend's divorce, where the judge did actually basically tell us that he was giving us a separation, and during that 6-month period, we had to go to marriage counseling.
Mm.
And we had to prove that we went to marriage counseling. Now, for my friend, it worked great. He's still married. For me, the other half, unfortunately, had no desire to be married.
Mm.
So that was basically the findings of the counselor, was that, you know, if you're in a marriage and the other half doesn't want to be married, and you can't force them to be that way.
Yeah,
sure.
And, you know, that's another thing people need to take into consideration before they even get married. If your other half is saying to you they're not sure they want to be married, you should listen to them.
Which was
a lesson I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
Is that experience common, the sentencing to counseling?
No, it's not something common. I have only encountered it once out of my whole career, and it's just not very common. You don't see judges wanting to do it. Now, I will have, of course, where the court orders them to come to counseling, either because they want them to do quote-unquote co-parenting counseling because they want them to communicate better, or mm-hmm. they want them to learn how to restructure their relationship. But this is something that we don't see all the time.
I mean, yeah. Judges have the authority to order counseling,
right?
But they basically, I mean, what I've heard judges say is that, you know, if the parties want to go to counseling, they can agree to go to counseling.
Right.
But if one of them, what good is it going to do for me to send them to counseling if one of them doesn't want to go?
Yeah.
Right. If you have to be ordered to go, in other words.
Right. Right. At that point, if you're ordered and you're in the court process already, what good will it do?
And what about her point about listening to what people are saying before you even get married?
Very important point. There's so many things that we don't look at. We get really caught up in the moment and the emotions that we're experiencing at the time, and we don't do our homework. Just like the investments we make in houses and cars, we spend a lot more time on that than we do sometimes in the marriages we enter into.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it said that a lot of times people think more about getting married than being married. And that it would be almost as if you would apply for a job, interview for a job, get the job, and then not do any work. Is that a fair analogy?
Well, a lot of times what you do see is that they have the ideal that they are in love with, or the expectations they'd like to see, or the Hollywood story that they'd like to experience.
Right.
But actually making that happen does require work.
Mm-hmm.
I concur 100% with what Terry's saying. I couldn't add anything more to that.
Okay, well, our guests today have been Hugh O'Donnell, a collaborative law attorney, and Terry Disher, a former family law attorney who is now a therapist and mediator. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you both for having us on.
Thanks very much.
I think a lot of our listeners got some good advice, don't you, Walt?
I think so.
Tomorrow, the food critics return. A call from Al on the Plaza. Good morning, Al.
Hi, good morning. Hey, Walt, everybody, you guys are great.
Well, I've got one for you. This, without mediation, this can be an incredibly helpful tool, because in my own situation, my parents were divorced when I was 4, and when I was 18, asset issues came up. Property, very valuable property, came up, and we went back to the original judge, and at that time I was an adult, essentially, mm-hmm. and the judge brought me into the picture, and I had to make a choice regarding which parent was the most significant in my upbringing, and that affected the awarding of these assets, which were considerable, and as a result, one of my parents, I don't want to demonize yeah. either one of them,
no.
Disinherited me.
So, really?
So yeah, and it was a big deal. So the thing is, you know, the fact that the children are very much a factor in the early stages of divorce and mediation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds like for you, the effect on having to make some of those choices and talk about what parent impacted you more was very difficult, and if we could have just dealt with that in a different way. So
oh, yeah, at the time it was insane. I mean, I didn't even know what was going on. I was just a kid getting out of high school, you know, prep school. So
sure.
The thing is, I think it's a huge factor in to bring the kids into the mediation process, and you know, in a positive way, because all these things can get resolved very early. And you know, here it was, how many years later? What, I don't know, 14,
sure.
15 years later.
Right.
And Al brings up a really good point that demonstrates that these things are interrelated. His role emotionally as a child, the result wasn't just emotional, it was financial for him.
Right.
To Steve in Edgerton.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, first of all, I love your show, Walt. Actually, I listen to Steve Kraske and all that all the time. You guys, this is a good program.
Oh, thank you.
My question is this. I come from a family where my folks are still married, and, you know, their folks are married, and their folks are married, and this and that. My wife comes from a family where there's been a couple divorces, and it's almost, you know, they say once you've lived through one divorce, you have an 85% chance of doing the same thing. It's a very learned behavior. Why are we trying to figure out easier ways for divorce to happen instead of judges, instead of just granting divorces? Why aren't they ordering, you know, counseling? Why aren't they, you know, I mean, things like irreconcilable differences. I mean, really all that boils down to is you can't solve an argument, and one person isn't grown up enough to just quit the behavior that they're conducting.
Well, I'm going to first let our guests respond to the idea that divorce repeats itself in families. Do children of divorced parents tend to have a higher rate of divorce?
Go ahead, Terry.
Statistically, I've not seen a statistic that high indicating that mm-hmm. a child of divorce will then repeat it. So that's new information for me.
And the other question that he brings up, which is, why isn't there more effort to convince people to stay together, to work with them to stay together? Is that, you know, we had that recent movie, I think it was What Happens in Vegas, that the judge orders them to 6 months of hard marriage. Is that legally a feasible thing?
6 months of hard marriage.
Well, I don't think that, I think that the decision about whether or not a couple is going to stay together is that of the
yeah.
couple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, I've told people before that, you know, if people quit getting divorced and I go out of business, I'll just go find something else to do, I think.
And I second that.
Yeah. I'm not here to encourage people to get divorced. I think as much as possible people should stay together, but if they've made that decision, if one of them's made that
yeah.
decision, then there is a process. There are different ways to get to the end,
mm-hmm.
and this is a more skillful and healthy process than the litigation, than the traditional way to get divorced in most cases. Now, I'm not saying it's appropriate in all cases,
mm-hmm.
because there are those that it's not. But if somebody's made that decision, then, and I know Terry deals with couples all the time trying to help people.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to add, is that I second what he's saying. If I would not have another client going through a divorce, I would be fine with that. But if they make that choice, then I want to try to be proactive so we have more of a peaceful situation than setting dynamics of war in place. Mm-hmm. But I do a lot of relationship counseling and try to find a lot of resources for couples in trying to work through the difficulties they have. But again, I'm not the decision maker for individuals and couples.
Right. Okay, well, we've got Julie in North Kansas City.
Yeah, Julie.
Yes, I'm in Kansas City North, and I'm seriously considering divorcing my husband. I've left him twice, and of course he, you know, was remorseful and stuff, but it's an abuse situation, I think. You know, not so much physically, but it's verbally.
I see.
And, should I just leave for a while again, or should I just start filing papers?
Well, in an abuse situation, is collaborative law something that can be dealt with, or does abuse make that difficult?
There's a challenge involved. I'm sorry. There's a challenge involved in that. There has to be, but it doesn't preclude collaborative or mediation. There has to be an ability by both parties to negotiate, to discuss the issues. If there is that ability on both parts, then collaborative law or mediation is a good option.
Yeah, and I was going to add the piece of because there has been abuse, it doesn't eliminate it, because what collaborative law does do and mediation is it recognizes the emotional difficulties and tries to deal with that, not ignore it. Mm-hmm. So it would address this. And again, as Hugh said, each situation is different, so it might not be appropriate. But I'd encourage her also, it's such a difficult decision to make about leaving a marriage, to try to get some type of support and help in working through that.
Yeah, and it did sound like she was trying to decide whether to go. And that's something. Is that something that you help people with?
It is. I have people in the office all the time with that. And the decision, as indicated with the last caller, the decision to divorce is such a struggle. You can hear for her. And so it is an important piece that should be addressed and should be given time and support in going through.
Mm-hmm. Go to Russell in Olathe.
Hello, Lenexa, actually, now. Wonderful phones.
Mobile phones. Good.
Hey there. Well, more of an observation than a suggestion than a question. I think a primary cause of difficulty in divorce is that the couple has been together so long under negative circumstances before they reach that point that they have begun to truly hate each other. And I think that's largely because of a misconception that if you leave someone, the time you spent together is wasted. You have, you know, thrown away that part of your life. You don't have anything to show for it. Well, you have the time you spent together to show for it. You have other things to show for it. If two people grow in different directions, that's the way it is. But it doesn't mean that they shouldn't have been where they were when they were where they were.
Right.
And my suggestion, instead of turning back the clock and making divorce more difficult, why not raise the bar to marriage to something other than in-lay and make it so that you have to actually prove a certain degree of belonging together before you're permitted to sign something that is a legal contract. You know, it's not just an emotional relationship, and it's not just a legal relationship.
So,
it's
Russell,
both. It's
are you suggesting...
And then if marriage still doesn't work out, we'll give them the divorce easily.
Are you suggesting a waiting period for marriage?
Like legal... it makes a certain degree of sense, either a waiting period or else, you know, something like the MMPI. I have no idea how it would be implemented, just the idea that it should be to actually help eliminate hundreds and millions of, hey, let's get married. Oh, why not? Oh, this sucks.
Yeah. And Russell, I'd add that, you know, this is a big, big topic of discussion, even comes up in the political arena. And the one piece that I do see and I see as a positive is that I do have a lot of couples that are coming in for what I will term as sort of that premarital counseling, is that they want to come in. Mm-hmm. They don't want to seek out just trying to go through a class that they have to get through to meet their requirements of their church. They really want to look at the issues and see how they're working together and make sure that they're choosing options and strategies that will be helpful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go to Dan in Leawood. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. I wanted to point something out that's often not considered and little known, so to speak, is what's referred to as a postnuptial, and it can be handled through mediation, take a lot of things off the table that can be a problem, and you're not necessarily rushing into something you might regret, and it's easily handled through a mediator and can be a last resort before doing something that you may not necessarily choose to do, and postnuptials are available just as though prenuptials are, and they're not often considered.
Hmm. What is a postnuptial?
It would be a contract entered into between the parties after they've already been married, after they've gotten married.
Under what circumstances would someone get married and then choose to do that? Is that kind of like, it's a pretty unromantic thing to bring up in a marriage?
Yeah.
Well, it can be. I've had couples.
Because it sounds a little like a threat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure I've ever encountered it, actually, in a scenario other than in a prenuptial situation. Mm-hmm. But there is some, the gentleman brings out a good point. I mean, you can remove certain issues of possible friction between the parties by entering into prenuptial agreement. He's talking about a postnuptial, but I'm talking about a prenuptial agreement can be, and again, I think you're right. Most people's first reaction would be it's not very romantic.
Yeah.
But it might be also very practical.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, what can you tell us about the postnuptial? Is that something that has worked for someone you know?
Yeah, it's just something that, again, is little known, and it can take some of the things that may be a point of contention off the table and alleviate some of the stresses of marriage that you're able to move forward from.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dan.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And now we'll go to Cannon in South Kansas City.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was just going to comment earlier about the marriage counseling. Sometimes,
yeah.
I've had two situations, one in my own divorce, unfortunately, and one in another close friend's divorce, where the judge did actually basically tell us that he was giving us a separation, and during that six-month period, we had to go to marriage counseling. Mm. And we had to prove that we went to marriage counseling. Now, for my friend, it worked great. He's still married. For me, the other half, unfortunately, had no desire to be married.
Mm.
So that was basically the findings of the counselor, was that, if you're in a marriage and the other half doesn't want to be married, and you can't force them to be that way.
No.
Sure.
And, that's another thing people need to take into consideration before they even get married. If your other half is saying to you they're not sure they want to be married, you should listen to them.
Yeah.
Which was a lesson I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
Is that experience common, the sentencing to counseling?
No, it's not something common. I have only encountered it once out of my whole career, and it's just not very common. You don't see judges wanting to do it. Now, I will have, of course, where the court orders them to come to counseling, either because they want them to do quote unquote co-parenting counseling because they want them to communicate better, or mm-hmm. they want them to learn how to restructure their relationship. But this is something that we don't see all the time.
I mean, yeah. Judges have the authority to order counseling,
right?
But they basically, what I've heard judges say is that if the parties want to go to counseling, they can agree to go to counseling.
Right.
But if one of them, what good is it going to do for me to send them to counseling if one of them doesn't want to go?
Yeah.
Right. If you have to be ordered to go, in other words.
Right. Right. At that point, if you're ordered and you're in the court process already, what good will it do?
And what about her point about listening to what people are saying before you even get married?
very important point. There are so many things that we don't look at. We get really caught up in the moment and the emotions that we're experiencing at the time, and we don't do our homework. Just like the investments we make in houses and cars, we spend a lot more time on that than we do sometimes in the marriages we enter into.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard it said that a lot of times people think more about getting married than being married, like, and that it would be almost as if you would apply for a job, interview for a job, get the job, and then not do any work. Is that a fair analogy?
Well, a lot of times what you do see is that they have the ideal that they are in love with, or the expectations they'd like to see, or the Hollywood story that they'd like to experience.
Right.
But actually making that happen does require work.
Mm-hmm. I concur 100% with what Terry's saying. I couldn't add anything more to that.
Okay, well, our guests today have been Hugh O'Donnell, a collaborative law attorney, and Terry Disher, a former family law attorney who is now a therapist and mediator. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you both for having us on.
Thanks very much.
I think a lot of our listeners got some good advice, don't you, Walt?
I think so.
Tomorrow, the food critics return.